shoots, and Swans have won the grand final. Spills out to Horsley. What a goal!
For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle podcast, bringing you all the latest news and results from the West Australian Football League. My name is Jake Batrick, and with me is Josh Money and Josie McDonald. Guys, how are we?
Going well, Batto.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent. We are going to kick straight into the first game of the year, South Freo versus West Perth. Now, the Bulldogs got over the line 14-6, 90 to 8-7, 55 down at Fremantle Oval. Would you say an upset? Not really sure.
Not really. I mean, both sides finished a bit short last year from where they like to be, and I think they've both got finals aspirations this year, so it was always going to be pretty tight. 35 points sounds like a bit of a blowout, but it turns out it was actually the closest game of the weekend, so just the way it went this week.
That's it. Now, Joes, who were the standouts for South Freo?
Well, there are a couple of standouts. I mean, Blaine Wilson finished the game with 28 possessions. Kyle Hams had 27 disposals for his first game back in a while. So, you know, it was good to see a strong performance from him. Brock Higgins had a strong game in the ruck. And Dylan Ross was another rock-solid piece for the Bulldogs' defence.
Is Blaine Wilson any relation to Sean Connery?
Blaine Wilson. I'm not actually sure, Josh. I have to look into that. But, you know, Ashton Hams finished with 25 possessions to go with his 7 tackles and 2 goals. So, stellar performance from him too.
Excellent.
Probably now, worrying signs a bit for West Perth, I think. They look a little bit away off the team that won the premiership a couple of years ago. Shane Nelson had 39 touches, a bit of a one-man show from him on the day. He got a lot of the footy, but they didn't really seem to capitalise. Both first and second quarter, West Perth kicked the first goal, and they just weren't able to sort of seize the momentum and go on with that. So I'd say a little bit worrying signs for them coming into the first game out of the pre-season.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year's Sandover medal winner Aaron Black was very quiet, kept to 17 disposals, so... Yeah, I mean, Shane Nelson's obviously a superstar of the Waffle, so he can't do it on his own. And with the likes of Aaron Black not performing, yeah, I think worrying signs. It's a weird one because West Perth have most of the same players from that 2013 Premiership side. They didn't make the finals last year, as you mentioned, and off to a shaky start this year. So it's going to be interesting to see.
It's a relatively unchanged squad, like you said. So it doesn't really make sense. I don't know if it's a staff issue or what's going on internally at the club, but it does seem a little bit odd, especially with two of the league's absolute standout players, that they're not sort of performing. I know it's early days, but not performing how you think they should be.
So South Fremantle travelling to Lathlane Park to play the Demons, who we will get to their performance a bit later on. So look, I think they'll get the chockies there.
I think they'd be very, very confident heading into that one.
For sure.
Given the Demons' performance this week.
And West Perth will be hosting Peel Thunder, which could be another danger game given that the Dockers aren't playing this weekend. So the Peel Thunder side could be quite strong.
They'll be loaded with AFL players. And
absolutely.
Not that you'll get to see the Falcons on the telly this year.
No. It's a bit silly, isn't it?
It's very silly. So if you don't know, Channel 7 have made a decision not to broadcast, at this stage, as the fixtures stand, not to broadcast any of the West Perth games due to the Channel 9 logo that is situated on the Falcon shirt.
It's plastered right across their tummies.
It's really not hard to miss, is it, guys?
No, and like Josie, if you were watching the telly at home and you saw West Perth playing and you saw that Channel 9 logo, would you go, oh, I forgot about Channel 9. I might go see what's on. I might go watch.
To be honest,
Ready,
I probably
Cook.
Wouldn't. I mean, I think it's just ridiculous that they're not going to be broadcasting any of their games.
But, you know, you're sitting there watching the footy. You want to see what's happening. Why would you change the channel? We don't even have ads these days. Like, there's no need to change the channel. So,
I mean, McDonald's sponsors the Waffle, but, you know, that's not going to stop you having any more than 5 or 6 Big Macs a week, Batto. So.
No, absolutely not. And, I need a curb on performance there.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
It's been a disappointing start to the season for Perth fans, following a 106-point loss to Swan Districts at Steel Blue Oval on Saturday. The 2014 Wooden Spooners were defeated 21-21-147 to 7-9-51, with the Demons kicking a solitary point in the first quarter. It looked like the game was going to be a lot closer at half-time, with the Demons clawing back the margin with 4 goals. But it wasn't enough to defeat the Swans, who ran away with a blowout victory. The Swans had a long list of goal kickers, with Ricky Carey the best of the bunch, booting 4. Also dominant was Swans player Matt Riggio, who kicked 3 goals and had 27 touches. Jared Morton was the only Demons player to kick 3 goals, while Aidan Troppiano amassed 34 possessions. Dean White managed a solid 21 possessions in his 100th game, his first as captain. Next week, Perth take on South Fremantle at home, while the Swans play East Perth at Medibank Stadium. This has been Claire Dell for the Monday Waffle.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Subiaco and Claremont played the Twilight game on Saturday evening. The Lions got the job done over the Tigers, winning 15 goals 16-106 to Claremont's 9 goals 7-61. So it was pretty even up until three-quarter time, with both sides pretty much going goal for goal until the Lions kicked away with a 6 goals to 1 last quarter. So Josie, the Lions had a few standouts in this game.
Yeah, Shane Yaron and Clancy Wheeler both kicked 5 goals for the Lions. Wheeler in particular having a strong all-round game with 21 touches. He had 6 marks, 4 tackles and 3 hit-outs to go with those 5 goals.
So that's pretty handy from the big centre half forward. Jordan Lockyer was another one I thought had a good game. Been on the Sydney Swans list for a few years. Couldn't quite crack it. Obviously a very strong side, winning a premiership while he was there, so
yeah, unfortunately didn't get a game with the Swans, but he's back for Waffle, so it's good to see him out there.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game down back with 20 touches, 12 kicks, 8 handballs, 7 marks and 6 tackles, so pretty solid from him. He's definitely going to be one to watch for the season for the Lions. Now, Josh, who did you think had a good game for the Tigers?
It was a funny old game, wasn't it, because I thought probably the Tigers sort of used the ball, especially in the first half. I thought they're probably the better side. Third quarter, even a little bit, that was the case as well. A couple of real standouts. I think young Shane McAdam had a really good game for Claremont. He took an absolute screamer in the first quarter. In the second quarter, he's done this little twinkle toe. I don't even know what you'd call it. Down.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean,
it looked like he'd done way too much with the footy, and then he's just absolutely skinned the defender and then just punched it home from a really tight angle. It was a fantastic goal. He kicked 3 straight goals. He only had about 13 touches, but I just thought he provided a bit of spark and a bit of flair, and I thought he played very well.
Yeah, it was a really good game because I feel for at least the first 3 quarters, it was anyone's game. It was kind of going between the two sides, and I mean, Subi came through in the end, but it was good effort from Claremont as well.
Absolutely.
45 points seems like a really, just yeah, not a fair reflection of the game. And I think it was just in the end of the day, it seemed like fitness, and it seemed like that Subi had put in a little bit more of the hard yards during the preseason, and they just looked a little bit more fit to finish out the match.
So a 6 goals 3 to 1 goal 1 last quarter obviously was a big discrepancy in the game. Josh, you caught up with Clancy Wheeler, who we awarded best on ground for the game, to find out how the Lions got the job done in the last quarter.
Big win in the end. How do you feel you went?
Oh yeah, look, we're just wrapped to get the win. It's always going to be a tough game against Claremont. They're a team that's going to be on the improve this year, we think. So had to work hard for it for 3 quarters, so yeah, pretty happy.
They had a lot of the footy first 3 quarters and you guys broke away. Why do you think that was? What was the difference?
We've had a pretty hard slog this pre-season, so maybe, I'm not sure if it's fitness or just the midfield getting on top, but it was good last quarter. A bit of the breeze helped, but yeah, to their credit, they're fighting out the game.
Obviously, you boys had a great year last year. What do you do? What have you been doing in the preseason to improve on that?
You know, just, I don't know, fitness, strength and conditioning. Been new coach come in, Dennis Jackson. He's been very good and getting the boys fit real fit. And I don't know, just a couple of little tweaks of the game plan, and yeah, the coaches have got us firing. So
yeah, and your own game today, you're pretty
wrapped. Pretty happy, yeah. But missed a couple of easy ones, which is, you know, I'm always hard on myself. So, but yeah, happy with five. So.
Yeah, I'm heading into next week. East Brio, how you boys feeling about that?
We haven't really seen much of them, but I'm sure the coaches will have a bit of info for us this week, and we'll do our research and hopefully get over the top.
So Claremont has the bye next week, so we turn to game of the round next week, East Fremantle hosting Subiaco at Adams Stadium. Guys, do we think this is an early grand final rehearsal? I'm going to call it very early in week
one. Supremely early court, reading a hell of a lot into round one, are you, Jake Batrick? I wouldn't think so, actually. I'm not sure. I think that's it is too early, and I think maybe jumping to conclusions too early. Subi have got to be real front runners again this year. I think that the way they finished the game on Saturday evening just really bodes well for them, I think, heading into it. East Perth were surprisingly below par, and I think surely they'll get to kick up the butt and turn their season around. I think there's a bit more. We haven't seen Peel play yet, and no, I think it's early days.
Can't really rule anyone out at this point.
Absolutely.
Except maybe Perth Demons. Yeah. If they're in the grand final, I will eat my hat.
Absolutely. Well, look, I think it's definitely going to... We don't know. I will assume it's going to be a cracking game next week down at East Frio. We'll certainly have a few of our reporters down there to get all the action for next week. I think it's going to be a cracker.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Now, we have Waffle Footy back on Channel 7, which is great to see. And joining us on the line now is Channel 7's own Mark Reddings. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, and great to have footy back in the WAFL new season.
That's it. Now, Waffle Footy is obviously back on Channel 7 with East Frio and East Perth kicking things off this weekend from a televised point of view. It's a shame the game was such a blowout.
It was, and disappointing from East Perth's point of view, because they really never got into the game. In fact, held goalless in the first half, finishing with just five majors for the entire match. But yes, up to three-quarter time, just one goal next to their name. But conversely, East Fremantle were terrific, and their 55-point win was built on the back of a really strong midfield. They had guys like Liam Anthony, who's played for North Melbourne, Brad Dalziel, who's gone to the next level at AFL level and succeeded. So many midfielders that they could call upon to generate ball for their forwards. A winning margin of 55 points was no real surprise. I think it stamps the Sharks as one of the real contenders, albeit after just 1 week, as a chance to win this premiership.
Yeah, you just mentioned the Sharks. Welcome back, Liam Anthony from North Melbourne. 28 touches and two goals. The Sharks would be thrilled with his immediate impact.
Absolutely, and he kicked a couple of goals, as you say, and really did generate plenty of footies. Only 27, and with six seasons at North Melbourne, that's certainly helped his football development. So, and you think of guys like Jamie McNamara, Brad Dalziel, as I said, around him. Mark McGough will come back into that lineup. East Fremantle will have a lot to offer, and they've got some, not a great forward line as such on paper, but the midfielders, if they can go forward and kick some goals, it could be happy days for them. As for East Perth, they have very few highlights. A few Eagles went around. I guess the best of those, Liam Duggan impressed me, so too did Kane Lucas. Murray Newman kicked a couple of goals, but not a lot of bright spots for East Perth, who made the grand final last year, but were disappointing, and that was another poor performance on the big stage for them on Saturday night.
Well, I mean, where to now for the Royals? For a side, you know, that's played in the last two grand finals, where do you see their season heading?
Well, it really does depend a lot on the availability of Eagles squad members. Now, last year they went through about 46 players, which is far and above what other clubs go through, particularly those that dominate in the top half of the competition. So that is a factor. And despite the fact that people will say it's an advantage to have the club alignment with an AFL lineup, sometimes it doesn't always translate to success with the continuity, with the bonding, with the fabric of a club. So, look, Brian Dawson, though, is a very good coach. He's got the side to two grand finals, as you said. So, at the end of the day, he'll make sure that this team bounces back, which I'm sure they will do, that next week they have Swan Districts at Medibank Stadium. So, look, you'd think East Perth will improve as the season goes on. Very disappointing on Saturday night, but they do have enough quality there, albeit Josh Smith is missing, their leading goal kicker for the past four seasons, and with him out, they might struggle to kick a score between now and when he returns.
Now, yeah, you just mentioned the Royals host Swan Districts. The Sharks are hosting Subiaco next week. How do you think they'll go?
I think they'll be pretty keen to make amends for that prelim final loss to the Lions last year when they kicked 7-26. So Subiaco themselves starting the season really well with a big win over Claremont. Yaron and Wheeler both kicked five goals. They are going to be, if not the team to beat, certainly vying for the premiership again, you'd suggest. 15-16, so 31 scoring shots against Claremont. Completely dominant there. And you'd have to think that this game against East Fremantle, very much a toss of the coin. Two teams that are up and about early. And no doubt some memories, good ones for Subiaco of the prelim final, but East Fremantle will be still smarting after being knocked out of the competition just one game shy of the grand final.
Absolutely. I think you're spot on the money there, Mark. Well, thanks for that, Mark, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next week.
Pleasure, Jake.
So before we get into the fixtures for next week, we're gonna fess up because we kind of stuffed up a little bit over the first week of footy. We forgot to tip.
Yeah.
All of us.
Nobody, didn't do it.
Nobody did their tips.
So that was really good. So basically what we've decided is we have all been granted the away team, as you would if you forget to do your tips each week. So you wouldn't read about it. We're all on 0 points heading into...
We're all on rock bottom.
...next week. So we're going to rattle off the fixtures and our tips for next week so we can get our tipping comp underway. So we've got East Frio versus Subiaco at Adams Stadium. Josh, who's your pick?
It's a toughie. I'll go Subiaco.
You're going to go Subiaco? I'm going to go... You could flip a coin. But based on this week, I'm going to go Subiaco after they got the job done over Claremont this week. Josie, who's your pick?
Oh, I think I'm going to join you guys on that one and go with Subiaco.
Subiaco's all around. The next game is East Perth hosting the Swan Districts at Medibank Stadium. I think, well, this could go either way. East Perth will be stacked up this week with West Coast players because West Coast and Frio, as we know, don't have a game. So you would think Swans would win, but I'm actually going to go East Perth.
Yeah, you're right. It could go either way, but I think I'm going to go with the Swans.
You're going to go Swans?
I think I'm going to go East Perth. I think they had a bit of a shocker last week, and I think they'll have a point to prove. I think playing at home with the home crowd, Swan Districts is a bit hard to read too much into their performance because they were playing a pretty below-par team. So, yeah, I think I'm going to pick the Royals.
Cool. Perth hosting South Fremantle at Lath Lane Park.
We know Josh is going to go with Perth.
Yeah, just, I've got a good feeling about it. I think they're my smoky this year.
No, I think it's South Fremantle all around the table.
Yeah. Josie, yes, South Fremantle. Yes.
Beautiful. South, and finally, we have West Perth hosting Peel Thunder at HBF Arena up in the northern suburbs in Joondalup.
It's a toughie, this one.
Yeah, we haven't seen Peel yet, but, you know, they could get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously hard to read into it so early in the season. From a West Perth point of view, you know, they still, on paper, West Perth are a strong team, but Peel are going to be well stacked again, you would think. So again, I'm going to go with the AFL affiliate team of Peel. That's my call.
I don't know why, it's just a gut feeling, so I'm gonna pick West Perth.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Joes.
I think I'm gonna go with Peel. It'll be close though.
It'll
be a good game.
Absolutely. Well, that rounds off our first Monday Waffle podcast for the 2015 season. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.